remember what day it is, doesn't matter. Out there on the table, I put a stack of these tracks. These are, well, all right. Comes to us by way of our brothers in New York City, and that was printed there in Staten Island, and that's my testimony in Spanish, and so I set a stack of them out there for you, and I put some more prayer cards, and I didn't look, I don't know, but you know, please, I know you pray for us, and I appreciate it, and I put something else out too. Now here's the deal. Now, we're evangelists. We're an evangelist. We travel. My girls sang, made CDs, and then one by one they got married and moved on. And then Susan and I started doing whatever it is we do together. Some even refer to it as singing. And we put a CD together of, it says Spurgeon's Favorites. And I'm Spurgeon. So these are my favorites of the five CDs that our kids made. There's 20 songs on there, and going over like 15 years of our ministry, and I know we don't sell stuff here, and I'm not bringing it. So I put 25 out there on the table as a gift to our friends at this church.
Well, thank you.
Amen?
Thank you.
Amen. So, now don't get 10 of them and mail them to all your friends. But that's from us to you. And I don't care about selling the stuff anyway. And I respect you guys. And I'm going to show the respect I've been shown. And Lord kind of laid that on my heart as we were packing up to leave home a couple weeks ago. And I said, you know what? I told her, I said, we're gonna take a box down there and give them to our friends, San Antonio. So. So you folks at home, I don't know what to tell you. Should have been there. Might be some left, you know, when this passes, you know.
In a couple of years, I don't know.
Take your Bible tonight and go to 2 Corinthians chapter 3. Beautiful day today. Man, I hear we're going to get some cool weather by the weekend. Maybe some rain. 2 years ago when I was here, because this is our third year in a row. This last year was a bonus year. So this is our real year. And 2019 was our
real year.
Odd years we come unless we get canceled. You guys aren't getting on that bandwagon, I hope. Amen. And I'm here and it's beautiful here in the winter and we're enjoying the weather because it's snowing in Ohio. Not much. But I get down here and years past, it'd been in the 70s like it was today. And last year, 2 years ago, it was cold and rainy and I'm complaining because it's like 60 and rainy and, you know, it's like 20 at home. My kids are not sympathetic with me at all. But I caught myself, I mean, within my own spirit, I was like complaining. And I got a text from a pastor friend in Coon Rapids, Minnesota, that I was going to rendezvous with in 2 weeks in Florida. We were going to preach a meeting together. And we've been praying for each other. And he sent me a screenshot of the weather thing, you know, on your phone. Don't act like you don't know what I'm talking about. And it was 40 below. Actual. Now, that's not the wind blowing. Because a storm came through a couple of years ago, and that's why it was unseasonably cooler here and everywhere else. 40 below actual. And I never complained anymore that week about being 60 and damp. I'm not going to complain about it getting cooler this weekend. You know what? Truth be known, it doesn't matter. It's nice in here. It's warm in here. We're get here safe. You know, people do go to church in the winter up north. And I think, I heard that's a rumor, but I try not to be up there in the winter. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 17. You know, it's hard to figure out where to jump in, but I know where I want to jump from, so I'm going to read the verse. 17, now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. But we all with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. I want to preach tonight about the Spirit of the Lord a little bit. It says where the Spirit of... Now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. And I would say this, it's sure my desire, and most of my preacher friends, if I ever, you know, if it, we discussed it, it seems to be every preacher's desire to have the liberty. I mean, you can teach, you can study, you can have everything laid out, but there's something about preaching that if God don't get in it, that's not preaching. Might be good teaching, might be, but preaching something God ordained. Are we on the same page? The Bible says where the Spirit of the Lord is, and I know it's my desire, I know it's my prayer to have the liberty to preach, and I'm not saying this to puff you guys up at all, but I've been saying it to my wife. I have great liberty to preach here every time. I can't explain it. I don't try to explain it, but I sure can tell it. And I'm enjoying it. I'm enjoying the liberty that God gives me to preach here. And you other preachers, there's a bunch of other preachers in here. And sometimes you don't always have the liberty to preach. Sometimes it's easy, sometimes it's not. And when it's not, I've been places where, I mean, I just felt, you probably heard this before, I felt like, you know, the words are coming out and crashing down there at the base, you know, I don't know if anybody else has felt like that. And when it's like that, buddy, it makes it even harder because I start doing inventory in my own mind. What have I forgot to confess? What did I didn't give enough time to study? What on my behalf, what fault is causing? And some preachers, you know, have a different response. You know, I guess they think that every thought that comes into their mind is from God, and if you're not receiving it right, it must be your fault. I don't think that way. I know me. Amen. I try to examine myself. Sometimes it's hard to preach. And we're in a revival. We're not home much. This was a few years back. And when our church would have meetings like this, we're never there because we're on the road, you know, doing this. People ask me and say, have you ever, do you guys run into so-and-so or another? They'll give me another name. And I said, well, if I do, if we do, it's because one of us is unemployed. I mean, we're busy, you know, and Lord willing, they are. But we were home and we were going to be home. I didn't know the preacher, never heard him, somebody heard him, invited him, and we're going to get to be there one night. We're excited about it. We're leaving the next day. So here we are in our own church, and man, it was good. The song service, like these songs you're singing, you know, on that end, can it be? My favorite verse is the one with the dungeon flaming with light. You might want to stick that in there because, you know, just suggestion. But, I mean, the song service was good. Hearts were tender. I mean, people came to the altar during the congregational singing because they were touched by the music. You've seen that. We don't see that much anymore. Ever. But that's the way it was this night. And I'm sitting there thinking, praise the Lord, this is going to be good. The stage is set. The liberty of God is here. And we're going to, man, I mean, if a preacher can't preach after God has already tenderized hearts, then, you know. So I am in with anticipation, looking forward to God ministering and speaking to me, because I go to, so he'll speak to me. I hope you get something, that I go because I need something. So this guy, he was younger, and I don't know what school he comes out of. I don't know. He wasn't anything I ever heard of. But he got in the pulpit, maybe he was nervous. I know I am. I'm nervous. That's why I ramble for the first 10 minutes. I'm not rambling now. This is on purpose. But and he gets in the pulpit and he says this. He looked out. There are 200 people there. And he says, I feel an oppressive spirit in here tonight. That's how he introduced himself to our church. He's been here for at least 10 minutes now. And he has taken our spiritual temperature, and he senses an oppressive spirit, and he's setting the stage for whatever it is he's going to preach. I'm thinking, is that something they taught you in Bible school? Is there a class that teaches that kind of intro? I thought it was odd. I never heard it before. And just to make matters more interesting, I mean, I'm a preacher. And I didn't sense it. On the contrary, I thought it was pretty good. As soon as he said that told me one thing. One of us, either him or I, was way off base. And when he got done preaching, I knew which one of it was. I was glad to hit the road so I didn't have to be there the rest of that meeting. We're talking about where the Spirit of the Lord is. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. But listen, we know because we believe that book, we read that book, there are other spirits. Right. We're in New Orleans one time, preaching down there, and the pastor was a former heroin addict, convict, got saved at like 38 years old, and I mean God did a work in his life. And he went to Bible school, and he ministers there. He's 81 years old now, still preaching. And he'd been at it for a while. He wanted us, and we had two girls with us then, to see the French Quarter where he grew up. He wanted us to see it in the daytime because the French Quarter in New Orleans, and like a lot of cities, it's like the jungle. You know, it might be pretty, the birds chirping and the wildlife, not wild. In the daytime, but boy, when it starts getting dark, it changes. And that's the way New Orleans is. And that's the way every big city I know of is. And the birds go away and the predators come out. And he said, we got to be out here by 3 o'clock in the afternoon. But he wanted us to see and walk down Bourbon Street, see the levee and see the Mississippi River and all this. And so we're not there to pass out track. We're just down there to have some kind of coffee. Have a good time. Well, you know, you can't resist. So I get, it's him, his wife, my wife, and one of our daughters and him. They're walking. He's pointing things out. And I get lagging behind with my youngest. And I figured out today she is 13 or 14 at the time. And her and I are, I mean, there's people that definitely need the Lord. And I'm over there, hey, can I give you something to read? We're getting farther and farther behind. And we come upon a park. And there's a park, and it's not real big, but there's the grass and flowers, fence, and a statue of a guy, some kind of, I don't know, Revolutionary War, I don't know what war, a soldier on a horse. Probably torn it down by now. I don't know. But there were artists set up, like three people with easels, and they're painting this guy, this statue. Okay, doing what artists do. And we walk up behind them, and it's amazing. I mean, I've been in places where people are out there, whether they're doing sunset, it's amazing. It's sure enough a gift I didn't get. And so, how long can you stand there and look at it? I'm thinking, you know, you guys should get a camera because that guy's, it'll be faster. And those guys aren't, he's not moving. But there's a guy sitting in a lounge chair that he wasn't painting. He was with him. He had real long hair, and he was right with him. He was an artsy kind of guy, whatever that means. And I walked up to him as we're going by, and I said, hey man, could I give you something to read? And this guy stood up, and he was like 6'4", 6'5". I mean, he stood up for a long time. And now he's there, and he's going, what is that? And I said, this is
This is about Jesus Christ. This will tell you what Jesus Christ did for me. And he went into a room. He goes, oh, no, get away, get away. And I mean, real loud, real vocal. Now all of his artist friends are, he's got all, that's what he wanted, attention, I guess. He's got everybody's attention for half a block. And I'm standing with a 14-year-old girl saying, hey, man. And he's going, no, get away, get away. And I started to put it away. And when I went through the track, he calmed down. And he's like, he's still watching me, but he calmed down. And I don't give up that easy, right? So I said, look, man, it won't hurt you. Come on. And no. And he goes through the whole routine again. And obviously, he's not going to take a track. And my little girl's looking at me like, ooh, I'm hearing Twilight Zone music. So I put the track back in my pocket, and we turn to go. And when we turn, and he calms down, and he's not sitting down yet, but he's, and we start to walk away, and I lean down to my little girl, and I said, watch this. And I turn and went, you know, like you're doing a cross and a vampire. And buddy, he went off again. Ah, he's freaking out. No, get away, get away. And we're laughing. We're just laughing now, and we keep going. And we finally get to the end of the levee, or we get to the end of the street, and the levee's there, and you walk up 14 steps from Bourbon Street, 14 steps to the top of the levee, and we caught up with the preacher and the girls, and we're standing on top of this levee, and the Mississippi River is right there. I mean, right there. I mean, like, right there. And I'm standing there, and I'm looking at the water, and I turn back, and I'm looking 14 feet down where we just were, and I'm looking at that water, and this thought occurred to me. What kind of idiot builds a city 14 feet below sea level on the Mississippi River? We're heading back now because it's getting, you know, it's getting late afternoon, and we're going to get out of there. And here we are. We're coming, and now it's all of us. There's like four females, the preacher, and here they're still painting that horse. And that guy's still sitting there in his lawn chair. And I went for it, man. I went for the track, and I am getting ready to. And listen, I'm serious as a heart attack. Something said, don't you mess with that. Don't, you know, what you stumble across by accident, one thing. But don't you mess with that. That's a spirit. And I just tucked the track back in and walked right on. I want to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit, don't you? The Bible says where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty, but there's other spirits. And I'm not interested in playing around with them, challenging them. I know the Lord will take care of me. He's taking care of me in more things than I even know. And same goes for some of you. You've been out of the country. But I'm not looking for that. I want to stay close to the right spirit, the one with the capital S. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. And we say it like this. We believe it to be true. If a supernatural transaction takes place during the preaching of God's Word, it is logical that there is a supernatural opposition to it. And truth be known, that's experienced in any church that stands on this book. And there's a lot of churches around the country that wouldn't know that if you told it to them, because they don't stand on that book because they're not going to run the risk of that spiritual opposition. That's why a lot of places you go in, everybody's smiling, and you hear a nice little talk, and you come in feeling good, and you go out feeling good, and sin's not preached on, and the Word of God's not proclaimed, and the devil's not upset, and God's not happy either. And I'm glad God didn't put me in that crowd. I don't know if I'd have made it over. Some of you have been through some stuff to get to become Bible believers. God knew me, took me right out of county jail and put me in a Bible-believing church. I thank God for it. Amen. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. Before I pray and proceed, let me say that that's not the liberty to do whatever you want. I like freedom. I'm an American. And some churches, they get, you know, I've heard it testify or talking to people that were, you know, backsliding. And it says, you know, don't be shoving it down my throat. I'm saved by grace. You do what you do. Don't tell me how to live. You got to throw out a lot of the New Testament. It does say denying ungodliness and worldly lust. Doesn't it? I mean, am I rightly dividing that? I mean, that's Pauline, right? And I hear that kind of thing. And they say, I have liberty. Some people have just enough doctrine to be dangerous. Amen? So let me say this, and I may have said it here before. It bears repeating. The liberty that we have that comes from the presence of the Spirit of the Lord is not the liberty to do what you did when you're lost. That's what I did for 37 years. I did whatever I wanted. The Spirit of the Lord enables you, gives you the liberty to do what you could not do before you got saved. And that's live in such a way to be pleasing to Jesus Christ and glorifying to your Savior and spread the glorious gospel. That's what we have the liberty to do. Natural man can try, and all he can get on his best day is some religious rigmarole going. There's a lot of people that try it without the Holy Spirit. I should have never came this deep because those socks are going to haunt me. Are you kidding me? Whoa. All right. Come on. Let's. Father, I love you tonight. Thank you for liberty, the right kind. Thank you for levity. Thank you for a bunch of folks. We're not inflated about our opinion of ourselves. We come to glorify your name and lift you up and submit our hearts to you. And I pray, God, that the message tonight be a blessing to you. And a blessing to these folks and folks at home. And God, I just thank you for Jesus Christ. I appreciate the songs that we've already sung. And I just love you tonight. Meet with us, I pray, and help me to preach. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, take your Bible, go to 1 Corinthians chapter, never mind. 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy chapter 6. You know, I'm thinking when you get older, you just say something and adjust from there, you know. I'm experiencing this. Anyway, 1 Timothy chapter 6, and look at verse 6. Let's start in verse 5. That better be a good place. It's all good. Perverse disputings of men of corrupt minds and destitute of the truth, supposing that gain is godliness. From such withdraw. I said, wow, so much for the health and wealth, you know, gospel. And then it says this, verse 6, but godliness with contentment is great gain. So let me say, and I appreciate, and we'll repeat, that where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. But where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's contentment. There's contentment. Amen. Contentment is not an easy commodity to have in America. In America, because of the media, and it multiplies the avenues by which they reach into our homes and hearts, we get constantly targeted by a probably billion-dollar industry now, and their job is to market every new thing under the sun, whether it's cars. I mean, come on. I go by a Ford dealer coming into San Antonio. There must have been 300 pickup trucks. There might have been 400. Are they really selling that many in 1 year and then going to get four? Really? I mean, how long does a pickup truck last? My cars last 15, 20 years. But, buddy, I'll tell you what, if you listen to the ads, if you maintain or keep up with the Joneses' attitude, man, I need an oil change. I better go buy. Like Brother Billy said, you go and get an oil change, and they'll try to talk you into a trade. It's not easy to be satisfied, to be content in America, because, man, it's coming at us from every angle. We need new computers, faster computers. Churches advertise Bibles. They're advertising marketing Bibles all the time. Again, we're the targets of a massive industry, and they do a great job, and it makes it hard to be content. But where I just want to say, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's contentment. Amen. And the Bible says, godliness with contentment is great gain. Do yourself a favor. And you know, when you add to your faith virtue, knowledge, and help me out, temperance, and okay, what else? Patience, godliness. By the time you get there, you're not chasing after every new thing anymore. You realize that what you already got is bigger and better. But it doesn't come natural. And Paul said it like this in Philippians 4 and verse 11. He said, not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. If Paul had to learn it after years in the ministry, by the time he wrote the book of Philippians, if Paul had to acknowledge that he learned it, it definitely doesn't come as standard equipment to the human being. On the contrary. But that also tells me it doesn't come just with salvation either. You can be saved and love Jesus and be so far from being content. I guess if we were to take a survey across the body of born-again believers, the debt would rival some states, maybe because we just can still lust after stuff. See, on what authority do you speak? Take a wild guess. I've been guilty of it. Amen. I've been fighting to get out of the hole for a long time. And by the grace of God, get to the place where we're content.
Amen.
Amen. We get to a city, we don't have to be running around and doing stuff. This is the main event. Let's just get to church and been there. Amen? Say, so what do you do for fun?
Yeah.
Go out to eat with you guys. I mean, it's fellowship with other Christians. And then it's spending time in the... We're having a blast. This is more fun than it was 10 years ago. Amen?
Amen.
Paul had to learn it. That verse to me is, you know, the evangelist. It says, whatever state I am. So you learn to be content. I'm from Ohio, but I'm very content to be in Texas.
Amen.
Right now, I've learned that. I've learned it. Next week, I'm going to be content to be in Florida. And next week after that, I'm going to be content to be in... I really am. I've learned to be content. It's so cool going in places and see what God's doing. Amen. This world's got nothing to compare to it, and I chased this world for too long. So it doesn't come natural. We're talking about contentment tonight. And it doesn't come natural, but it's worth learning. Paul learned it, and it's worth working at. Here's why. Proverbs 27 and verse 20 says, hell and destruction are never full, so the eyes of man are never satisfied. And never satisfied is a miserable way to live.
Amen.
I got news for you. Many Christians live that way. Amen. They got so much going for them and they're not enjoying the riches of His grace because they're... Amen. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, I'm trying to help you tonight. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's contentment. It says in Hebrews 13, and I'm going to the second part of the verse on purpose, it says, be content with such things as you have, for He hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. So yeah, you don't have to have that new house, you don't have to have that brand new car, you don't have to have the cutting edge computer, but you know, just as a consolation, how about you got Jesus? Remember when He was all you needed? I was in jail looking out the window at Mercedes and Cadillacs and Lincolns driving by that belonged to lawyers that were coming to the jails because that's where their work was. And I've been saved a week and I'm on my way to prison for a long time if the government gets its way. And I'm in there alone and I'm looking, I'm going, these people... They have no idea. They think they got it made. They're on their way to hell. And I'm in jail on my way to prison. But I'm saved. I'm on my way to heaven.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Man, I'll tell you what, at that moment, I didn't need a pardon. I didn't need a bond. I didn't need a break. I didn't need nothing. Jesus Christ was enough.
Yeah. Amen.
You remember that day?
Amen.
Remember those days? You remember before the cares of this life? I mean, they move in too, don't they? And we're warned about it. We're talked about it. It doesn't make you a flesh bag because you're worried about something. That's just how we are. That's why we need to read our Bible. That's why we need to get under preaching. That's why we need to be reminded. Let me put it like this. Can you think back, no matter what you're going through these days, can you think back to when you were so excited about not going to hell, nothing could rain on your parade? Amen. Remember those days? Well, let me tell you something. It ain't Jesus that changed.
Right.
He's still who he is. He still did what he did. You're still delivered from hell, and he's still in there, and he says, be content with such as you have, for I will never leave thee nor forsake thee.
Amen.
And we know that. I know that. And we need to be reminded of it. I need to be reminded of it. Maybe God just had me preaching to myself every night. If you guys get something, that'd be a blessing, because I need to be reminded of this stuff. Amen. We all do. We all do. So where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty, and there's also contentment. But where the Spirit of the Lord is not, there's covetousness. Take your Bible. Go to Hebrews 13, 5. I jumped in the middle of the verse, and I'd like some of this water. And we'll begin at the beginning of the verse. Now, and it says this. What does it say? Beginning of the verse says, let your, verse 5, Hebrews 13, let your conversation be without covetousness. That's the opposite of contentment. Amen? Where the Spirit of the Lord is not, there's not only not contentment, but there's, it gets worse than that. There's covetousness. We're warned about it a lot. It must be a real deal. All right. It says this, Luke chapter 12. Go there, Luke chapter 12. Thought I was going to blow my nose in my mask again. I got it on this side. This is crazy. The mask will work for a handkerchief, but I don't know if the handkerchief will work for a mask, you know. But it says this in Luke chapter 12, and you know the story, I'm sure. It says in verse 15, it says, and he said unto them, take heed and beware of covetousness. For a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of things which he possesseth. Yeah. Isn't it amazing how quickly we accumulate possessions? I got saved in a jail cell. The feds had raided my house a month before, taken just about everything I owned. I got saved. I had nothing. I had no money. I had no possessions. I mean, they motorcycles, Corvettes, they hauled a lot of stuff away. I didn't own any property, because if you don't pay taxes, you don't get to own anything. You just blow all your money. And that was my testimony by the time I was almost 38 years old. I didn't have much. And the feds came and took the rest. And then here I am. It's just me and a blue jailhouse jumper and Jesus. And I made bond. Then I got a car. And then I got something else. And then I got something else. That was 30 years ago. I got a 4-bedroom house full of stuff, 2 sheds full of stuff, a garage. Where did this stuff come from? I didn't even start collecting again until I was almost 40. Americans have it in their heads that our life does consist of the things that we possess. Amen. Garage sales. That's hilarious. People buy stuff, put it out on the curb. Other people go buy it. They take the money. They go buy new stuff that they're going to put out on the curb. And then COVID hit, and nobody even wants your old clothes anymore. We don't want that stuff. Amen. By the way, I ain't got nothing to fit y'all. Amen. So, but a man's life consists not in the abundance of the things which he possesses. I remember being in South Florida one year, I mean, before I got saved. And it comes by me, down an alligator alley. Here comes a big old Ford, four-wheel drive truck. Big tires. I mean, I don't even have a clue how you get in and out of it. I couldn't. You climb in, I guess. It was a neat truck. It was big. It was loud. I mean, I liked it. I mean, don't get me wrong. I still like that stuff. Amen. Can I get an amen from the back? And then it's going by, and there's a big old four-wheeler in the bed. In the trunk. In the bed. I mean, a nice one for the 80s, 85, who knows. And I'm thinking, this truck probably cost 30 grand, which would be about 80 now, probably. And then this big thing, and this guy, I mean, and then he keeps going by, and he's pulling a Ranger bass boat. Brand new bass boat. I mean, I'm looking at more money than I ever had at one time going down the road. But the thing about it is, the reason it sticks in my memory is that on the tailgate or on the bumper of the pickup truck, it said, "He who dies with the most toys wins." And it was obviously, that was his religion. That was his philosophy. He had accumulated some nice toys. My experience is this. He who dies, dies. And he who dies without Jesus Christ goes to hell. No matter what kind of toy collection he's got. I've been to some funerals on both sides of the cross, but I've yet to see a hearse with a trailer hitch on it. I mean, you're leaving it behind. Amen. That's why I'm trying to find a bumper sticker to put on our motorhome that says, "We are spending our children's inheritance." Because that, I don't, you know. I hope they're watching. Amen. We're having a blast. Get a job. No, they all have a job. I'm just kidding. They're doing fine. Amen. You know, all them biker, I don't know what, a stupid movie from the 60s, some bike club, I won't mention them, had a funeral in the movie and dug a deep hole and lowered the Harley into the hole and then the casket. And I looked at that and said, right. And somebody said to me, they believe that stuff. And they said, "Brother Spurgeon, when you was in the bike gang, did you guys bury Harleys with each other when you died?" And I said, "Are you kidding me? We were too covetous for that. Before the body was in the ground, we had already parted his motorcycle out." Listen, covetousness is a long way from where God is. It's where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's contentment. But where the Spirit of the Lord is not, I'm telling you, the eyes of man are never full. Man is never satisfied. Christians get like that. You don't want to be like that. How can the joy of the Lord be your strength when your eyes are on the things of the world? They can't. Say, "I'm saved, I love Jesus, but I want that new..." Oh, I get it, man. I'm there too sometimes. That's why I married her. This lady, she may look like a normal woman, but she is an Amish person. I married into the Amish. Amen. You go, "We what? We can't... What? What?" And I went, "Well, I love you, so... You know, if Jesus Christ can give up what he gave up to make a way for me to get saved... I decided that girl right there didn't ask me to give up nothing that I couldn't part with. She didn't really even ask me. I just made up my mind she was worthy of it. Whatever. Amen. I had to rethink some things. You know, when I got saved, I had to rethink some things. You know, that's why some Christians stay at ground level. They don't want to go to hell. Amen. They want to, you know, get victory over some things and have life. God put their life back together, but they just... Bless God, I'm going to No, you're not blessing God when you're holding on to things that the Spirit of God says you need to let that go. You need to let that go and make room for me. The mask thing's not working because I'm right in your face. I know. Brother Wendell already had it. If you believe what he says, I don't know. Get or not. Tough as he is, he probably...
All right, moving on. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, right? Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's contentment. Where it's not, there's covetousness. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's cooperation. Psalm 133. You know, I don't go long on purpose, but you guys don't go home for an hour after service. I know you're in no hurry. So I'm not.
I'd have never made it as a Presbyterian evangelist. Do they even have them? Why? What do they preach? Okay, don't go there. Psalm 133 and verse 1, the Bible says this. Behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity.
Amen.
Amen. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's cooperation. Amen. Where the Spirit of the Lord is. Amen. You know, as different as we are, we, people, believers, we have different opinions about things. We have different mannerisms. We have different tastes. I traveled from Maine to Miami, all across, been in all 50 states. It's fascinating. Do you go to California? Do you go to Portland, Oregon? Do you go to New York City? Yes, I go because there's believers there. And because of what we got in common supersedes all our differences, like we're talking about at lunch today. That, to me, that's great. My desire is to be part of something real since I was a teenager. That's why I was in the paratroopers. That's why I was in the motorcycle gangs. I wanted to be part of something. And then Jesus Christ found me and I went, oh, this is what I've been looking for all my life.
Amen.
Amen. The beauty of the body of Christ is that as different as we are, we can work together for the cause of Christ. Now, I will say this. There's some odd believers. Not everybody's not normal like us. I was leaving a church once, and I told my wife, we're getting ready to go, and I said, you know, that was good, but those people are kind of different, aren't they? And my wife says, she's so wise, she says, well, yes, honey, but let's face it, everybody's not absolutely normal like Dave Spurgeon. That's what she said, and I went, yeah, I guess you're right. Amen. But I love it. I love it. We go to places. I said it here. I come in here 8 years ago. I don't know you guys, but, you know, we knew some people in common. Most importantly, Jesus Christ. And you guys treated us like family. And you can, here's how you can tell. Because if you didn't, I wouldn't have come back. And some of you are saying, that's where we messed up. Amen. Amen. But that to me is the coolest thing in the world, the brotherhood that God intended, that the world tries to imitate, God intended for us. And we need to cooperate. It says, can two walk together except they be agreed? The answer is not very far. Amen. We say that, we quote that, we believe the Bible, but it seems like some people are bound and determined to find some small thing that we disagree on and make a big deal about it. I've been watching that for 30 years, and you know what? The Spirit of God's not bearing witness to that. Amen? We think sometimes we find some little thing and use that to be critical of someone else that's doing it differently, and we think that proves how spiritual we are. That's not what it proves. That's not what it proves. My mom used to say, David, don't make a mountain out of a molehill. She was a wise little Irish lady. And she told me as a kid, you make a big deal out of something that's not, and you'll have a big deal to deal with.
Yeah.
And then when the important stuff comes along, you ain't even going to know what to do. And I've seen brothers and sisters through the years make big deals out of stuff that they shouldn't have. Amen? God ain't in it. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's cooperation. The other guy, however, he loves it. He loves discord.
and division.
Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's cooperation. Where the Spirit of the Lord is not, Acts 15. Go to Acts 15. This is the three-point message with the three equal sub-points. I guess that means six. I don't know. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is cooperation. But where the Spirit of the Lord is not, well, look what it says in Acts 15. Acts 15, I believe I should have went there too, right? Verse 36. Okay, we'll start there. And some days, Acts 15, 36, and some days after, Paul said unto Barnabas, let us go again and visit our brethren in every city where we have preached the word of the Lord and see how they do. And Barnabas determined to take with them John, whose surname was Mark. That's his nephew. Verse 38, but Paul thought not good to take him with them, who departed from them from Pamphylia and went not with them to the work. Paul was serious, hard charging, very focused, and didn't have a lot of grace. I don't know what John Mark's problem was, probably just inexperience. Amen. Maybe a little overwhelmed, but he departed, and Paul wants to get back to the work. And old Uncle Barnabas was a pretty gracious guy, and they had a disagreement. It says in verse 39, and the contention was so sharp between them that they departed asunder one from the other. And so Barnabas took Mark and sailed unto Cyprus, and Paul chose Silas and departed, being recommended by the brethren under the grace of God. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's cooperation. You can work through anything. But where the Spirit of the Lord is not, there's contention. The contention over John Mark, and I'm not judging anybody, I'm just reading what it says. The contention over John Mark came between two very spiritual men. Two men with proven track records. Two men that had been at it a while and had proven themselves and had been through some things. And they didn't just disagree. The Bible makes a point to say the contention was so sharp between them that they departed asunder. There's a meeting in Memphis, Tennessee every spring in May. It's a street preachers meeting, and street preachers come to it, and you may know of it, you may not. It's called the Beale Street Blast. Anybody ever heard of it? The Beale Street Blast, and street preachers congregate there, and they have like classes in the daytime, and then they go out on Beale Street, and it's a big thing. I've never been. I'm an evangelist. I'm on the road. I know people that go. I don't have any desire to go, personally. But I talk to people that go, and I ask a brother, he had just come from there, and I said, you were down there? And he said, yeah. And I said, how'd it go? And he said, well, it went really well, but there were two groups, and I know who he was talking about, and I won't identify them, but there were two groups of Bible believers that thought very, very similarly on like 90% of everything. But there was a couple of things that there was some contention over. And here's the testimony of that meeting. Two groups of people that were down there to get the gospel into the hands of lost people. Again, both believe the same, want to do the same thing, like bikers, you know. But the testimony was the contention between this group and this group, that if either one came in here, they'd fit right in. This group, the contention between those two groups was so thick, you could cut it with a knife. That's a lousy testimony. You know what I mean? That's a club mentality. That's not the way we're supposed to be. We're supposed to be able to cooperate. You guys very graciously let two Yankees come in here and just be part of the family for a couple of weeks.
We have a lot of grace.
May God bless him for it. Amen. But hey, what's the big deal? Amen. There's cooperation.
All right? So why would the contention be so thick you could cut it with a knife? I guess we have to go back to the Bible and see that Proverbs 13 and verse 10 says only by pride cometh contention. The verse finishes with these words, but with the well-advised is wisdom. Who could possibly be more well-advised than a King James Bible believer? But what I have learned is that you can have the right Bible and still have the wrong spirit. We need to realize that being right is not nearly as important as being right with God. That book says, before honor is humility. There's no place for pride for the child of God. Who do we think we are? It's not who do they think we are. That's not the problem. That's not our business. We've got to keep ourselves in check.
Amen.
Or the Spirit of the Lord. You want Him, right? Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. I'm not going to go back through. Where the Spirit, last of all, where the Spirit of the Lord is, go to Jude. Chapter 1. I said that for Brother Rich. Look at Jude. I said that to Brother Riggs because of his socks. Amen.
Wow.
Is there a switch on those? Okay. Jude 22, verse 22. Let's begin at verse 20. But ye beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life, and of some have compassion, making a difference. You know where the Spirit of the Lord is? There's compassion. There's compassion. Compassion made a difference in me. Compassion will change your life. Compassion will change who you live for. Say, what do you mean? Well, if you have the kind of compassion we're talking about here, you'll start seeing people like God does. Lost. Without God, without hope. And you'll want to do something about it. You'll want to make a difference. You'll realize that the glorious gospel has been committed to your trust. And if you're saved, that's you.
Amen.
That is the very thing that makes the difference. And you've got it. And you'll want to, you'll want to do something about this. Whoever God crosses your path with, amen? You want to have compassion. You want to be sensitive to that. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's compassion. But where the Spirit of the Lord is not, there's conceit. There's a verse in Proverbs, I won't have you go there, but verse 20, chapter 26 and verse 12 says this. Seest thou a man wise in his own conceit? There is more hope of a fool than of him. Yeah. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, it's all about the Lord. But where the Spirit of the Lord is not, it's not about Him anymore. It becomes all about you. There's a discussion I heard years ago. I'm with Brother Billy. I would not engage. It is foolish and it doesn't even matter. But there was a question about whether the sun was the center of the solar system. That's heliocentricity. Are you impressed? I can tell you are. You Googled this. And then whether or not the Earth is the center of the solar system. And now the moon and the sun and and all the other planets revolve around the Earth. You may believe that. I don't even care. Don't even come to me. That's called geocentricity. And I know people that you don't even want to know my opinion on this. But I see this as I travel around. The problem isn't heliocentricity. The problem isn't geocentricity. The problem these days is meocentricity.
Right.
People think they're the center of the solar system or the universe.
Right.
And you're not. Let me break it to you. It ain't all about you.
Amen.
Why would it be? But
truth is,
it was one day. It was all about you. You were the center of the most important event in the world. That was Jesus Christ going to the cross of Calvary. And from up there, nailed to that cross, shedding his blood, said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And that day, it was all about us. And the day you got saved is the day it is supposed to be all about him from then on.
Amen.
Ain't about you anymore. Amen? And that flesh doesn't like that. And that flesh doesn't go down without a fight. Sad thing, I travel around, I see so many folks that God has done so much for that seem to see little or no responsibility to live in a such a way to point others to the cross. I mean, if people can't even be faithful to come to church, and again, the exception is the exception, not the rule. Or read their Bible, and we can't even do that. What does that say about how concerned we really are about a lost and dying world that Jesus Christ established the church here to proclaim his name so that they have hope? And we can't, I mean, sure enough, born again Bible believers can't even grasp the fundamentals. And we're straight. Wouldn't you have thought 2,000 years this side of Calvary, we'd be doing a little better? We're drying up. I understand we're in the last days. I get that. But I want to provoke you like Brother Billy said yesterday. Hold fast. Let's stick. It's exciting to me. Amen. I was on my way to hell. I definitely have nothing better to do than live for God. I tried the other way. Amen. All right. We need to, let me close with this illustration. So we're talking out west. I mean, way out west. Like Nevada or something. I mean, I've been out there where the roads, I mean, they look like 10 miles straight. It might be here for all I know. Speed limits are high. This family's in their car. It's at night. They're going down the road, moving along pretty good. And out in the distance, kids, out in the distance, a car, four-way flashers, two-lane road, and four-way flashers. And as they slow down a little bit and they start getting closer, there's a car pulled off, and there's a guy standing in the middle of the road. And he is waving his jacket, and he's doing everything he can to flag that car down. And they're apprehensive. These days, we'd run them over. But they stop, they slow down, and the guy cracked the window a little bit, and, you know, what's the problem? And he said, the bridge is out. The bridge is out 1 mile up. The bridge is out. It's 100 feet right down to the canyon floor. And somebody, this is before cell phones. Somebody flagged me down and you need to stay here, and I'll go for help 10 miles back to the town and get the state police and you flag down the next car. So that guy jumps back in his car and takes off. And here they are sitting by the side of the road, this man, this wife, and these children. And they're praising the Lord. They're thanking Jesus because they know that fast they were going to go off. And think about it. You'd be glad somebody flagged you down. And they're sitting there. And then all of a sudden, not enough time for that guy to get back and come back. There's headlights in the rearview mirror. And here they're sitting in the car. And here this car's getting closer and closer. And they got a decision to make, don't they? Do they get out and flag that guy down? Or do they just let him drive right on by while they're praising Jesus for sparing them? And beloved, that's what's happening these days. Amongst Bible-believing Christianity, we're glad we're saved. We stand on the book, and people are driving right by us, and we can't make them stop. But
to some degree, we've quit trying to flag them down. We need to get back to having compassion. Because it ain't, yeah, but I was busy or I was tired or I was chicken. Why don't you just admit it? Sometimes we're just chicken. When I grew up, you call a man chicken, that'd get him going. These days, you hurt my feelings. Which makes me want to hurt something else. Amen. Pow.
We're talking about where the Spirit of the Lord is. There's liberty, amen, and there's contentment, and there's cooperation, and there's compassion.
The Lord said to the disciples in Luke chapter 9, He said, but He turned and rebuked them and said, you know not what manner of spirit ye are of.
The invitation is real simple. Maybe we need to examine, make sure, you know, examine what manner of spirit we're of. I'm not asking if you're saved or you love Jesus. But, you know, sometimes we just got to get things back in check. And, you know, like somebody said, it's not a sin to have things, but it's a sin though if things have you. Amen. And sometimes the things that this world says are so important and we get caught up in it. They're not near as important as we thought if we can get things in perspective. That's what having a meeting's good for. A concentrated dose of preaching to, you know, chip away and get things back into perspective. And then you're faithful to every service you can possibly be to keep sharp. And then God will let you do something for Him. He really will. Let's stand. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. I'm glad of that. I'm an American. I like liberty.
Amen.
But there's a liberty that comes from the Spirit of the Lord that it doesn't matter if you're free or not. There's something about it. And we can work together. And we don't have to have stuff we don't need. And then if God blesses you, you appreciate it. But we definitely, there's no place in a child of God's life, not a consecrated child of God. There's no place for pride. There's no place for contention. And that flesh runs for it, runs toward it. We've got to keep it in check. Preacher, come on.